Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National All Employment Network Payments Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, November 17th, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Janet Cousin. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Great. Thanks, Brianna. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We do welcome you to the All EM Payments Call, where we review the many intricacies of payment processes for the Ticket to Work program. Again, this is Janet Cousin. I'm the Provider Support Manager, and I'll be hosting the call today. I will have others joining me. We have Kathy Dyson, our trainer and consultant for the Ticket Operations Department. Sean Walcott is the Payments Manager, and Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Operations Manager. We also have several members of the Social Security Administration team on the line as well. So for today's presentation, as usual, we'll be sharing a presentation via the web link, and we'll open the line for Q&A at the end of the call if you have any questions you'd like to ask us. The presentation is posted on our website at yourtickettowork.com. If you click on the calendar, you'll see it listed there. After the call, it will be posted in the events archive section. So just a reminder, all of the presentations, the audio transcripts, and a recap of the discussions are posted on our website under the events archive section. So if you're not able to attend a future call, you're always welcome to go onto the website and review the information that we shared. Our chat room is also available, and Kathy will be answering questions throughout the call. Certainly, again, if we don't have an answer for you, we'll follow up with you afterwards. So let's get started. We have a full agenda for today's meeting. Several items that we want to review with you, provide an update and status on ePay, just some reminders about your SAM accounts information and updating that on a regular basis. There's a couple of ticket portal tips and tricks that we'll cover today. It's something we'll cover one or two points each month as, you know, we have more and more folks using the ticket portal now. We're also going to just provide a reminder on the manual payment request process for those that are non-ticket portal users. And then we'll share some information through a review of earnings evidence requirements. All right, so 'tis the season for holidays are approaching, and we do have a few closures we want to remind you of. November 26th is Thanksgiving Day, and our offices will be closed. We're going to close again for Christmas on Friday, December 25th, and Friday, January 1st for the new year. We've also made some adjustments on our call dates and times as a result of the holidays. So today's call is 1 week earlier than we normally hold it because of Thanksgiving next week. And then in December, we'll also move up the monthly call to December 15th. The all-EN call has been canceled for December, so there will not be an all-EN call. So just some reminders here. This information, again, is posted on our website, but you may want to make a note of that. Also, as winter approaches and the weather begins to change here in the Virginia area, I just want to remind you that, you know, if there is any inclement weather that requires us to close our offices, we will send an email announcement to all of our contacts advising you as to whether we are closing and when our offices will reopen. All right, so ePay. We have resumed processing ePay on November 2nd. Thus far, several weeks into our e-pay process, we have had more than 7,500 claims that have been paid. Of those claims that we've processed, we have over 1,000 claims that have been denied. So lots more to review, lots more to process, but it is in progress. If you've received some payments, you can view those through the list payments already made to me screen in the ticket portal from the main menu there. This time around, we are processing by SSN instead of by the DUNS number. One benefit to this is that, we will have multiple DUNS receiving payments instead of a large number of payments or potentially large number of payments for one DUNS as we work through the list. So keep an eye out in your report for any payments that may have been processed for you through the e-pay process. When we finish processing this file, we will likely not begin processing the next file until late January. So just want to set that expectation for you. Now, one reminder here is if you do have earnings evidence on hand, then you certainly can submit any payment request using that evidence through the ticket portal. You don't have to wait for ePay processing to run. Another reminder is that the portal does not provide any indicator identifying ePay claims versus non-ePay claims at this time. SSA is reviewing a request to consider adding a comment field on the payments already made to me screen, so that you have visibility to which claims were paid through the ePay process. However, in the meantime, if you can keep track of which ones you submit through the portal, you'll be able to identify those that were processed through the ePay process. And certainly if you have any questions about your ePay processing, you're always welcome to contact the EN Payments Help Desk by phone or by sending an email to enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.com. So before continuing on our agenda, I'd like to open up the lines and see if we have any questions about ePay or any claims that you may have received thus far. Brianna, can you help us with that, please?
Certainly. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, please press star followed by the number one. We'll pause for just a moment. Caller, your line is open. Please state your first and last name.
Hi, this is Lisa Palatiano. Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey there. So I am really trying to learn all this payment stuff. I am an employment I'm a workforce employment network, and we were under the very, very passive UAP. And so when you say that the portal does not show the ePay field at this time and that there's a request to show that, and then this will be different than payment requests that I've submitted, I'm not submitting payment requests.
Okay.
So how – you see my
– you're not submitting – you said you're not submitting payment requests?
That's right.
Okay. And what's your question then?
Well, so just to clarify, Lisa, I think what you're saying is that you guys are not accustomed to, nor is it part of your standard process to log into the ticket portal and submit payment requests through the portal. You're, as a workforce EN, you were used to receiving payments based on, the ticket status, et cetera, in the old former ePay process. So with that in mind, what you can expect is that when you log into the ticket portal and you access the list payments already made to me, anything listed there would by default be processed as a result of ePay if you're not submitting any payment requests manually.
Okay, that clarifies it. And so the request going forward would be to show implement networks in the portal, which ones were requested and which ones were facilitated through the ePay.
Right. There are some ENs that, you know, were registered for our former ePay automated payment process, and several that were not. It was an optional process for them. And so some ENs do submit payments using the payment request option from the main menu in the payment section. And those ENs, you know, will check that list payments already made to me screen for the payment request they submit through the portal, but they'll also see payment requests that were processed automatically by our payments team without them submitting them through the ePay process. So I was just trying to designate the fact that for those ENs, when they go into that report, there really is no indication that's visible to them as to whether that claim was processed through ePay or whether it was manually submitted through the portal. So again, in your case, since you're not submitting through the portal, everything you see there would be as a result of the automated ePay process.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. And then I did have a question, if you could briefly, if we have time, talking about the process done by DUNS and then this time by SSMs. Can you briefly describe that?
Yes. Yeah, so
I can do that, Janet.
Sure.
This is Deborah Tennessee. I'm the Ticket Operations Manager. The last time around, we ePay, the number of claims from ePay is very large. And the last time our files were sorted by DUNS number. So we assigned the files to staff based on ENs. That wasn't really a fair process. We had some ENs that are huge, and we were working solely on their claims, and where it could have been a smaller EN that we didn't get to much, much later in the process because we did have several thousand claims to go through. This time around, we sorted the files by social security number. And we've broken it up so that we're not just doing all of the zero zeros at one time. We have a group of staff that divided those social security numbers. So we have staff that are working all of the areas. The area is the first three digits of the social security number. It's more of, it's really more of a fair process. We're not working all of your EN at one time. You may get in 10 payments today. You may get in 2 tomorrow and maybe 5 the next day. But they're filtering, then you won't get them. You won't see all your payments at one time.
Okay, so that's an internal process with you guys.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And your next question comes from the line of Mary Lynn.
Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, can you hear me? Hello.
Oh, yes. We're hearing you now.
Okay, all right. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I have actually two questions. The first one is in regards to the RAM that you just started processing for November 2nd. Can you explain how far back in terms of time were of wage records were you reviewing during that run? Was it like 8 quarters past?
We go back as far as we have earnings in Social Security databases. It could be several years back. Now, we're not just doing this the way the OXY file or the what you used to get quarterly. I think the Cubers, I think that's what it was called. We're not using that process at all. If we have any earnings at all in SSA's databases, we're using all those earnings years, months, or whatever.
Okay, and then thank you. My second question is, you're still looking, though, at 3 times the trial work or SGA level in order to trigger or flag. Is that correct?
That is just one way.
Okay, so my question related to that is, if an individual in a quarter of time, in just 1 month of that quarter, has worked over, let's just say, SGA,
mm-hmm.
would your system flag that? Or I was just concerned about that 1 month out of the 3.
If we pay the monthly verification by our field office, then the answer to that is yes. If those earnings have not been verified, then the answer is no.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
And your next question comes from the line of Ken Williams.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
So I'm kind of curious. We facilitate services for a workforce EN. In doing payment requests, I find very frequently that the earnings are already established for that claim month.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why is ePay not finding those payments and paying those automatically if the earnings are already established in the system?
When we run our ePay file, it may be that we have already paid that month. Because remember, we're not doing ePay every month. If you're doing submitting payment requests daily, monthly, or whatever, we have a way of eliminating from our ePay file certain potential claims, and one would be if the payment was already made. So if you've submitted something and the earnings were established, then we've already paid you. It's not going to be on our ePay file.
No. Today I ran payments. Earnings were already established in the system, not requiring me to input those earnings. And I was, so the payment is going to be paid without me having to actually put the earnings information into the system.
Right.
In that case, why is ePay not automatically paying that payment instead of me having to find it and request it in the system?
Because, as I said, ePay is not run every day and it's not run every month. At the point where you put it in there, yes, the earning, it may be on our ePay file right now, something that you submitted today. It may be on our ePay file, but we may have found that it's already been paid because the last time we ran this file was back in August. Okay? So we ran it again the last day of October. So in between that time, yes, you're going to submit claims through the portal, and it's going to show you that the earnings were already verified or already there. Well, at this point, when we ran that file the end of October, for all of those claims, if we've already paid them or for some reason we couldn't pay them, it's not going to appear on our ePay file. Earnings is not just one of the criteria that we look at for ePay.
So it's a lag time.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is the system ever going to get caught up to the point where, I mean, these were just back in April, so it wasn't dating back that far, but is there going to be a point where the system is able to capture those earnings quicker?
I don't think it's going to capture any quicker than what you're getting now. Let me give you an example. We waited this long to do this ePay file because we knew that there was a forthcoming quarterly earnings file, which would have been around the second quarter of calendar year 2015, which is April, May, June. So we waited for that. Now, this is October. You could have submitted something, let's say, in July, in July with earnings that you already had, and you could have paid them. But what I'm saying is that depending on how employers report their quarterly earnings, and I just mentioned that the bulk of what we just got was the second quarter of 2015. Well, we had a few employers reporting earnings the third quarter of 2015. So depending on when we run our ePay file and when you submit your payment request, we could run an ePay file just days after you submitted something or even a month afterwards. So, yes, there's a lag period, but also remember, from the quarterly file, that's the Office of Child Support and Employment. That file is quarterly, but it's normally about 6 months behind the current month. And I say approximately 6 months because, again, a few employers may report sooner than others.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the clarification. Appreciate it.
Okay.
And your next question comes from the line of Linda Sullivan.
Hi, good afternoon. You have already answered my question, so thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. This is Deborah Tennessee again. Let me just make one clarification on the numbers that Janet just gave you for the denials, over 1,000 denials. Let me clarify that those 1,000 denials are for phase one milestone exclusions only, where those are phase one milestones where you would not receive monies for in a reconciliation payment. Those claims were excluded due to VR closures, successful closures, or due to look-back earnings. We normally do not do denials, payment denials on ePay. We get a whole file of a list of SSNs and earnings information. Earnings, again, is not the only criteria we use to make an assessment. If we're not able to make a payment to you because the all of the phase two milestones have been paid, and the next group of payments that would be eligible under the ticket program would be outcomes if the beneficiary achieves SGA level for their earnings. We could make outcome payments only if the beneficiary is in a suspense status due to worker earnings. However, if the beneficiary has not been placed in that beneficiary status of suspense, we cannot pay you. Well, we don't create payment denials for those. You didn't ask for those payments, so we're not doing a denial. The reason we have to do denials for the phase one milestone exclusions is to make sure that those payments are not included in a reconciliation payment, because those payments are not available to you. They are excluded. Okay?
Okay, great. Well, Brianna, thanks for opening the lines. I think we're going to continue with the agenda now. We have some good questions there. Thanks, Deborah, for providing the clarification and responses for those. But let's keep going, and we'll have another Q&A session at the end of the call. All right, so our tips and tricks for this month. Let's see what we're going to discuss this time around. So number one, we want to remind everyone that when you are submitting payment requests through the ticket portal, there are a number of automated checks that occur. And as one of our callers, Ben, I believe, mentioned, receiving the earnings already established for claim month. That's the second example on this slide. The first example indicates that SGA earnings have not yet been established for the claim month. These messages are really important. They serve as a guide to you as you're submitting your payment request with some information to help you determine how to proceed next. So, of course, in the case where earnings have not yet been established for the claim month, then you will need to provide earnings evidence in order to submit that payment request. You'll have an option there to add earnings if you do have the earnings evidence, and it will provide the table for you to key in the earnings information, identify the earnings type, start and ending pay periods, etc., and then generate a fax cover sheet to send that evidence in and be associated to the work case that's created. Now, in the second instance where you have the message that earnings have already been established for the claim month, then at this point you simply click submit. You do not have to add any earnings into the table. You do not have to generate a fax cover sheet, nor do you have to fax in any evidence. The system is indicating that it has identified some earnings there. Now, one thing to note is all of the payment requests are reviewed and verified by our payment specialist processing team. And there have been some times in the past where the system indicated that earnings were established. However, the earnings that were found did not satisfy all of the criteria for that particular payment request. And in those cases, we will send an email message that's referred to as an outreach message to the EN advising them of this and advising them that we will need to have some additional earnings evidence. many of those scenarios that occurred were corrected through various system updates. But if you receive that message and you do receive an outreach message from our EM Payments Help Desk team, it is because the earnings that was found in the system did not meet all of the criteria required for that particular payment method type. Lastly, here's an example of an indication message that a payment of some kind has already been made for this claim month. So there is some logic that's built into the system to provide this level of messaging for you. All right, so our second tip and trick for this month is in regards to diary reasons. We've had a few calls to the Payments Help Desk this past month asking about how they can identify the diary reason, or they're asking why something has been pending for so long. So I wanted to take a minute here to review how you can check when your payments are pending, and if there is a diary reason, how you can review that diary note. So again, from the main menu of the ticket portal, you can see under the payments section, the second option there is to view all pending payments for me. When you click on that option, you'll see what's behind it on the second screen, the screen showing all of the pending payments for your EN. Now, there's a way to see that just for a particular SSN if you're looking at the list beneficiaries currently assigned to me up here under the assignment list. Then you have an option to see that through there for just one SSN. But if you do go through the view pending payments for me, you'll see this list, and the red arrow is indicating the diaries column. If the diaries column has a Y, that means that particular payment is pending with a diary reason. You would need to click on the actions link to the right of that work case in order to have the ability to view the diary detailed notes. Once you click on the actions link, you'll see another screen. This is the More Actions menu. Now, this More Actions menu has several options, lots of good information available to you here. And I'm sorry, my red arrow seems to be pointing to the wrong place. But the very bottom of this list is the Show Diaries option. And that Show Diaries option only appears if there is a diary reason for that particular work case where you clicked on the Actions link. So once you click on that Show Diaries link, then you'll see a pop-up window that provides an explanation for the diary. This is really important because our work cases are placed into diary status for 9 business days. After that expiration of the diary period, then the work case will potentially be denied and you'll have to start over. So check your pending payments screen and look for any diaries that have a yes under that column. Click on the actions link, click on show diaries, and review the reason. Again, maybe there's additional earnings needed. Maybe your SAM account has expired and we're unable to make a payment until you update your SAM information. We're going to review that as well because we've had a number of those occur. So, again, checking the diary reason is very important because you do have a 9-day diary period before the case will be denied. All right, so let's briefly review how to submit manual payment requests for non-ticket portal users. While the preferred method of submitting payment requests is to use the new ticket portal and take advantage of all of the streamlined processes and real-time updates, if you're not able to use the new ticket portal for any reason, there is this option to have a complete payment request submitted to us manually. The payment request form can be found on our website at yourtickettowork.com. If you click on the Information Center tab, then click on Form, scrolling down the list of forms into the payment section, you'll find the payment request form. Once this form is complete, you may fax it with your evidentiary evidence, any documentation you have, pay stubs, the work number, etc., and fax it over to our ticket program manager number at 703-893-4020. You may also mail the request to the P.O. box listed on the slide here. Key thing to note is that we do need to ensure that the payment request is completed fully. Partially complete payment request forms cannot be processed. So please review the details. Ensure that you attach your evidentiary evidence and fax them over to this number here. And keep in mind that the fax number included on the fax cover sheets that are generated by the ticket portal is a different fax number. There's a toll-free number that's printed on those cover sheets at this time. And the only time that you need to use this process is if you do not have access to the ticket portal. If your access is still in progress and you're waiting for your welcome letter, you know, you've not begun the portal access steps yet, et cetera. So we do provide this option for those non-ticket portal users. Okay, so we're going to switch over to a review of evidentiary evidence. So our three primary evidence types, pay stubs, the employer-prepared earnings statement, which must be signed by the employer, as well as the work number report, which is a third-party tool that you will need a subscription to. There is a free service option available with them, but it's theworknumber.com that you can subscribe to generate a report of earnings for your ticket holders. Whatever the primary evidence is that you choose to use, it must include the following information. So we must have the beginning and ending dates of the pay period, along with the actual payday, the gross earnings for the claims month or the period that you're submitting your payment request for, the year-to-date gross earnings, and any withholdings that were being withheld from that pay period. The only exception for this is that the work number does not always include withholding information. And so it is acceptable to submit the work number without that holdings information. Now, one note is that all five of these items listed here must be included on the original document. So none of the information can be handwritten onto those documents or added in separately. Occasionally, pay stubs may not include the beginning and end pay period dates, and that's where the employer-prepared earnings statement will be helpful, where the employer can verify what those are and sign that form for you so you can submit that as a supplement to the pay stubs that you do have. The other thing that you can consider is the EN Supplemental Earnings Statement form, which is also available on our website. This form requires the EN organization name, the DUNS number, the beneficiary's name and Social Security number, and all of the details of the earnings for the claim month. It also requires an EN representative signature and date. So when submitting earnings evidence using the ticket portal, the ticket holder earnings box will appear. And here you must complete all of the fields marked with an asterisk. And it is all of the same information that was reviewed on the previous page. It's going to ask you for the employer name to enter the evidence type, whether it's pay stub or the work member report. It's going to ask for that pay period start date, the pay period end date, and the pay date. Gross amount paid is a required field. It also allows you to enter net earnings if you have that information. But that is optional. The key thing to note here is that you should submit an individual entry for each piece of evidence that you have. So if you have three pay stubs for different pay periods, you should make three separate entries. You should not accumulate them all together and make one entry with the eldest start pay period and the most recent pay period of all three together. You really need to enter each document individually. Once you have submitted all of the entries, you'll see your table here. It displays all the earnings information that you've keyed in. You can add more earnings or edit or delete anything that you've entered already. We do ask, it's important to have you verify the information, review it, and ensure that it's accurate and complete. When you click on the submit button at the bottom of the screen there, it's automatically creating a work case using the information that you've keyed in. There's not going to be a "Are you sure?" Prompt or anything like that. So you won't be able to edit or delete any of the information you've entered at that point either. The other thing to note on this screen is the check in the box right here, proof of earnings will be faxed in. Now, that check is automatically placed there each time you add earnings into the earnings screen, and you should keep that there so it will generate the fax cover sheet for the particular work case that's going to be created at this time. You also have the option to add a note, which is visible by the payments request processing team. So, again, just want to review the process and the requirements for evidentiary evidence that's required in the system today. So what about self-employment income? What about certification payment requests? So you should be aware that certification payment requests were discontinued as of July 31st of this year. The self-employment income Form 1398 is no longer acceptable as earnings evidence, and it has been removed from our website. So you should no longer be using this document. Now, self-employment income is still, I mean, if you're working with self-employed beneficiaries, that's okay. All SEI will be considered during the e-pay processing, and it's only after the earnings have been verified. So prior to discontinuance of certification payment request, you were able to submit your SEI form, and if those earnings were not verified via local field office, et cetera, then those payment requests would sit in a pending state for many, many months. And so we've decided to discontinue that process and rely on and wait for those earnings to be verified through the IRS. And once that has been confirmed and the earnings for those self-employed individuals are verified, then the e-pay process will review that data source where that information is available, and a payment will be generated. So we wanted to just provide another reminder about this change that occurred with certification payment requests and the self-employment income form, which again is no longer acceptable earnings evidence for submitting requests through the portal or manually. All right, well, that wraps it up for our agenda today.
Janet? Hi, this is Deborah. Just one more reminder, Sam.
Oh, yes. We did talk about Sam, and, well, that slide is missing from our presentation. All right, so let's do a quick reminder. Now, there was a GovDelivery announcement email that was sent out to all active ENs yesterday, I believe. And the reminder here is that the SAM account information does need to be reviewed on a regular basis. Your SAM account, especially your banking account information, does expire every year. You do need to go out and review that information. If you change your bank account information for your direct deposits, you should contact the EN Payments Help Desk and give us a heads up that you've made that change. It's important to do this if you have any current pending payments that are being reviewed for processing. The reason why is that, again, if you've changed your bank information without updating the system, then we're not going to be able to make payments to you. And your payments will be placed in a hold status. Now, SSA does reach out to ENs to advise you that your account has been suspended or it's placed on hold or the payments have been placed on hold and we're not able to make payments because your account information has expired or is not current or accurate. So we want to remind you to review that information. Give us a call and let us know if you do have to change your account information so we can place those payments in a waiting status until we can verify that the SSA system has been updated and we can resume making payments to you. Deborah, thanks for that important reminder.
Oh, no problem. And, you know, if for ENs who are on a call for ePay, what Janice said is very much true. We cannot, the system wouldn't even allow us to make a payment if your CCR or SAM registration has expired. And as of today, there are 136 claims that we're not making payments on because of an expired SAM registration. So this is just, it's money that's yours. And, you know, please, every EN has a anniversary. And Social Security is very good at going out and reminding ENs once their expiration date occurs, but we have some ENs for months their registration has expired and we are unable to pay. And from this ePay file, it's 136 claims thus far we are unable to pay.
Great reminder. Yes. Very important. You can simply go to www.sam.gov and log in there and review your information and make any changes that may be necessary. Very good point. Okay, Brianna, if you can open up the lines. Well, actually, let me check with in our chat room and see if we have anything there that has not been answered. I see Kathy's been feverishly answering some of the questions that have been submitted.
Yes, hi. There is one question. What if an employer-prepared earning wage statement is submitted? However, they refuse to sign the actual statement. What's next? Would anyone like to jump in and answer that question?
This is Deborah.
Okay.
If the employer has, they're refusing to or just forgot to do it, because if they filled in that information, I don't understand why they wouldn't sign it if it did come from the employer. But was it just an oversight, or did they just didn't want to sign it? Is that the issue? because you do have some other options. You can go to the work number and get that information, or possible you could wait for e-pay, but again, there may be a lag there. But we would have to have that employer, and let me tell you the reason why we have to have the employer sign. It's not just a matter of the wages that are or the pay periods. We have to know that withholdings have been made by law, the withholdings that should be withheld by law. We want to make sure that employers, and this is for the benefit of the beneficiaries, FICA taxes, if they have to be withheld, that they are being withheld. In the event that these beneficiaries who are disabled, who are working at some point, may get them off the rolls and may continue to work till it's time to retire, there are no FICA taxes taken out of that information isn't reported. That's less money that beneficiary is going to make. Plus, it's against the law. They should be withholding FICA taxes and Medicare taxes unless it is considered to be self-employment. So we do need that information for that reason. Most of the time, we're asking for employer-prepared earnings statement. When we get a pay stub and then it doesn't appear that withholdings have been made or we can't, it doesn't add up, like the net amounts and the gross amounts or the amounts withheld, they just don't total back to the gross. It looks like something's wrong there. So we do need to have that employer sign off and attest to the fact that all withholdings by law have been made. If the employer doesn't want to do that, the next option or another option could be to go to the work number or, again, just wait for the claim to appear on e-pay.
Great, Deborah. Thanks for answering that chat question. Brianna, why don't we go ahead and open up the phone lines and see if we have any additional questions.
Certainly. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one. And your first question comes from the line of Robert Perkins.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Good. My question is, during the e-pay process, does Social Security go back and correct my any, like, say you're supposed to be in a phase one, milestone one, but you find some earnings that was lagging that wasn't reported before in the last 18 months. Do you go back and say this person should be in outcomes instead of phase one, milestone one, or phase two, milestone? Do you go back and correct that?
We don't do what you're saying. We don't correct any records, but when we do a full assessment of a beneficiary's record. So, for example, we could see where we made some phase one milestone payments for Social Security retroactively placed the beneficiary in a suspense status due to work or earnings, and we could see that outcome claims could have been paid. Yes, we do go back and pay those.
Okay. Okay. I guess I'm asking because I have two clients that they are in the phase one milestone phase, but they received a letter from Social Security saying that their benefits are coming before that, they're coming off that benefits before the trial work level is scheduled to end within the 9-month period.
Okay, and they're going to be placed in suspense and their cash benefits are going to stop?
Right.
Okay.
They've been receiving those kind of letters.
Okay, if at all Social Security at all plays a beneficiary in suspense due to work or earnings, and we have evidence that the beneficiary has earnings at SGA level, once that happens, even if the beneficiary has not completed all phase one milestones, you know, they may have only been paid, we've only paid you as an EN phase one milestones one and two. Once they go into that outcome phase, we will start paying you outcomes. Now, if there were no phase one exclusions due to a successful VR closure or look back situation, then that means phase one milestones 3, 4, and all phase twos still would have been available to you had the beneficiary not gone into an outcome period. So we will pay you those monies at reconciliation once the beneficiary has been in an outcome period and you receive 12 outcomes.
Gotcha. So in the 3-month suspense period, do you get paid the outcomes or do you have to wait until they're actually taken completely off the cash benefits?
After they're taken off the cash benefits, we have to wait until Social Security's update that record with that information.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, we use Social Security records, what's posted there as a means of working. I mean, I don't know how many beneficiaries there are in total, but that is, it's a lot. And so Social Security records are our means of determining the payment status of a beneficiary, finding earnings information, so we rely on those records.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And your next question comes from the line of Cheryl Brandon.
Hi. I have a question about the portal and the payment request section. Can you tell me, when we get the message that the earnings have already been established for that month, where does that information come from? Is that from when the e-pay file has been created? Or
no,
how that posts?
The information that you get there comes from Social Security records. It's, let me say
basis?
That it's on an ongoing basis. It's the same source that the e-pay, that we develop our e-pay file from based on the earnings records that Social Security has and the level of earnings. So whatever earnings information that's listed in Social Security databases, systems, wherever it is, when you submit your payment request through the portal, it looks at all those sources for earnings. And when we're ready to run an e-pay file, it's the way e-pay identifies the Social Security number for a potential claim to be paid is to also look at those same databases.
Okay. I guess then maybe we could clarify, because I discovered this on my own, that I was getting payment. I went in and tried to make a claim, even though I didn't have any evidentiary, any pay stubs or anything. I requested a claim for a month, and that message popped up that earnings had already been established, and so I was able to hit submit, and then a payment request was created. So, and now I do that on an ongoing basis for all of my clients, so I get a jump on payments.
And e-pay, probably, because as I said before, it's been several months since e-pay, so by the time we run e-pay, that's possibly true. Yes, we have ENs that do that.
Okay, and I just think it's good for people, you know, you're waiting for, it's different than auto pay, where you got paid every month, and now I think it would be good to know that they can do that, to go in and, you know, submit. So,
And you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because there is, we're not running e-pay every month.
Right.
So if you are EN who is dependent on, let's say, UAP, receiving, you know, revenue monthly from that process. And, of course, now we're looking at earnings that are established in Social Security's database. But it's good for you to go in there and just attempt to do what you just did. Now, if there's nothing there, of course, it's going to prompt you to enter the earnings and to submit something. If you don't have anything, I guess you just stop what you're doing. Because if you don't have any earnings to submit, or send anything in, and there's nothing established in Social Security's database, after 9 business days, we're going to deny the claim if we don't receive anything anyway. But
I just hit cancel at that point.
Yeah,
but
right.
I've received thousands of dollars in payments by
and that's
going
a good
and
way.
That.
And that's a good way if you're really relying on those e-pay payments, to just go in, especially if you have beneficiaries that you know are working. And it's been a while since we've had e-pay. They're in an outcome status. You're not able to get the earnings information. Sure.
Okay, good. Well, good. Thank you so much, Deborah.
You're welcome.
And your next question comes from the line of Gina Luby.
Hello.
Hello. Hello?
Yes. So what's your question, Gina?
Okay, my question is, in the past, the portal was so smart that it would tell me that I was wrong when I input information. I wasn't wrong. What I had is clients who worked multiple jobs, and I felt I needed to report them, and it was next to impossible. Given, you know, how smart the computer thought it was, is there a way to enter multiple employers and keep the money straight. The gross income ended up being the big problem.
Sure. Beneficiaries can have multiple employers. So how did, in what situation, did it reject your request? What did it do?
It wouldn't even allow it to be entered. It would
what?
Say the gross, you know, on the line where you put, you know, the pay period, the
mm-hmm.
pay date, et cetera, and the gross income was the big problem because it would go from the entry before.
Okay. So let's say you had one pay stub, let's say from Walmart, and the next one came from Verizon, and it basically kind of picked up where the Walmart left off and wouldn't accept your Verizon.
Yeah.
So you were trying to do multiple entries on different employers in one event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it doesn't accept that, then I guess you would just have to submit that payment request again with additional earnings, or just send them in. Send them in when you you could either create a fact sheet and send them in that way, or I think that would be the easiest way to do it. Is anybody on the phone could think of something
else?
Yeah,
hey, Deborah, this is Janet. And, Gina, just to clarify, I pulled back up the slide that shows that screen for entering in the ticket holder earnings. So, again, with each entry, you should be able to type in the employer name, evidence type, the pay period start and pay period end date. So if for some reason you put in, you know, 2015 as the start and 2014 as the end, the system will catch that, you know, any typo. So just verify that you're entering dates that are appropriately in order, you know, the ending date following the start date, et cetera. And so it should be fine and accept your entry. If you have multiples that overlap, then there may be a question about that. If you have a pay period, maybe they do have two jobs. They're working part-time in two places, and so there are two stubs with the same overlapping pay periods. It should allow that, but if you get any type of error and you're not able to include anything, finish entering what you can enter, and with the fax cover sheet that's generated, you can always include additional documents, even if you did not key them in. What happens is when you fax that cover sheet with your documents, an electronic image is generated for the payment specialist to review, and they will compare that electronic image to what you keyed in into this table. And if they find that there are some additional evidence that you sent us that was not keyed in, they can always add that in themselves. So you're welcome to add any additional documents that you were not able to key in through the portal with the fax cover sheet. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah, you know, there, and certainly you can add a note. It might be helpful for us, and then we can work with our systems team to see if there is some type of system glitch that's happening. So if you add a note in there and say you tried to key this in and you received a particular error, it's helpful to let us know what that error number is or what the message is, and that way we can follow up with our systems team and just make sure we don't have an issue.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Sabrina Duplis.
Hi, good afternoon. How's everyone?
Hi, okay.
Great. I'm calling in regards to the portal. I was looking at a payment that is currently pending, and I had actually submitted it probably around the beginning of November, and it's just now showing up in the portal, and it's reflecting a date of today. Is that because when the person that was assigned, the EN specialist was assigned the actual ticket that's showing up now, or how does that work?
Just to clarify, Sabrina, you're looking at the payments, the pending payments for me screen, or payments already made to me screen?
I'm sorry, the pending payments.
Okay. So the pending payments for me screen, and you're seeing a date next to whatever status it's in.
Correct. Uh-huh. And it's showing a date of today's date when it was sent in the beginning of November.
Sabrina, did you have to send in a fax cover sheet with earnings information?
No, I just, you know, just submitted it as I normally do. I normally submit my payments manually.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had called the EN Payments Help Desk, and they actually told me it was received actually the very next day that I sent it. And I told them that, you know, I guess I've kind of gotten a little swamped with the new EN portal, which is the dangerous part of the portal, because, you know, I was seeing as soon as I would submit a payment, it was like the next day or so, it was showing up in the portal as a pending payment.
And you sent this one through the portal as well?
No, I sent this manually like I do all of my payments. But I was just stating that because of the new portal, I was sending I was starting to see any payments that I had submitted like the following day or 2 days later in the portal showing up as pending. And this one did not do that. It's just now showing up.
That's what happens when something's handled manually. Through the portal is the automatic process. As soon as you submit something, it's like almost in real time, you'll see a status. Whereas if you submit a payment request manually, it's two or three hands that touches a transaction for that request. It has to be uploaded, downloaded, and uploaded again before it actually hits, even gets into our system. And then it has to be picked up by someone to actually do something with it, like to create a work case. So, yes, if you send something in manually, the benefits of the portal is you're going to have more immediate action, and you're probably going to get your payment request processed faster.
Yeah, that's what I was stating, that I had been sending it in manually, and I was seeing it in the portal like a day or two later.
Okay. Okay, I understand. I got it now. I'm going to tell you what happened. We're doing ePay now.
Okay.
And we have thousands of cases, and we've made that priority. So you will get your payment if we assess that case and we see that we can make a payment. You'll get it within the 30-day time frame, which is part of our performance goals, that we have to complete a payment request within 30 days of receipt. But when we have ePay, you're going to have a delay. And any payments that you're submitting, either through the portal or even manually, because ePay is our priority.
I got you.
Got it. I didn't understand at first, but now I do. I got it.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you. So I did hear you say that 31st was the last day that you all did your last rollout of the ePay.
That's when we actually got the file that we're working on right now. We received it October 31st, and we started working those claims on November 2nd.
Oh, so you're not finished.
Oh, no. We've made, as of this morning, it was over 8,400 payments that we had made as of this morning. And we're almost halfway through. This is a huge file.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, our system staff at Social Security is getting even better at identifying potential claims. And as I mentioned earlier, we just got in a recent updated quarterly earnings file. So we have more earnings that are listed there, so possibly more payments going out the door. So it's taken us a while to process this file, but, I mean, we're making the payments.
Well, I just want to commend you all. You're doing an outstanding job. And you may not hear that very often, but
I'm so dominant. I'm so happy you did that on a national call.
I just want to commend you guys for doing an outstanding job, and we sincerely appreciate it. And thank you for taking the time to clear that up for me.
Oh, not a problem.
Okay,
thank
you all
you.
Have a good evening.
You too now. Okay, any more calls?
Or questions. Good. That was a good one, Sabrina. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And your next question comes from the line of Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey there, everybody. I just had a quick question that's a little off topic of payments, but I did notice in the chat box that there was a response from an SSA representative, I believe, that said that you're not able to enroll anyone in the portal at this time and that your systems folks are looking at that. Do you have an update on that? Because I have a new person that I want, that I've sent in the eKIP. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go away if there's
good question, Lisa. Thank you. Natalie, is there someone in the room there with you all that was responded to that chat question that may be able to clarify that?
No, I'm going to check with Katie on that. I know she said earlier when I spoke with her that they were working on the portal issues.
They had said that.
Okay, well, Lisa, we can certainly get back to you, or you're welcome to call our systems help desk, but we'll get clarification on that. You have a new employee that you've submitted your portal request information to enservice@ssa.gov. What stage is it in, or... Is that what stage you're at? Lisa, are you still there?
No, it looks like she disconnected.
Okay. Well, Lisa, please give our systems help desk a call, or again, it's enservice@ssa.gov. That is the team that's working through the initial setup for the ticket portal, and you can certainly check on the status of your registration request. Okay, well, there was a lot of great questions. You know, if you have any follow-up questions, please send those to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com. We'll be happy to follow up with you. We're going to wrap it up for the day. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us for our call today. We do hope that this was a helpful and informational session for you, and we look forward to having you join us next month. Again, it will be a week earlier than our normal date, and that would be Tuesday, December 15th. So that's 12:15:15, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Reminder, all of the information we shared today, our presentation, our audio, transcripts, et cetera, will be posted on our website at yourtickettowork.com under the Information Center tab on the Events Archive. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's webinar. We thank you for your participation and ask that you disconnect your lines.
Ha ha!